will work my strings. I have Japanese marionettes. You don't understand these things. It is simply called a guess. My past is close, it's gone. I keep it up all day long. If that's your idea, you're wrong. Oh, oh, if that's your idea, you're wrong. If you want to know who we are, we are children of Japan. For the first friend, Japan, street friend, and what? Menu, 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 menu.
We're broadcasting live from Iowa Public Radio Studio 1 on the University of Northern Iowa campus in Cedar Falls. Good afternoon. I'm Jacqueline Hallblum, and this is Iowa Public Radio's Classical Music in the Afternoon. And Iowa Public Radio's Kurt Snook is off the hook this hour. With the help of IPR's engineers Phil Moss and Tony Daner, we'll be bringing to you a sneak preview of the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater's Young Artist production on June 19th through the 21st of Gilbert and Sullivan's operetta, The Mikado. That's going to be on the lawn of Bruce Moore Mansion in Cedar Rapids. And the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater's production will be under the direction of their guest stage director, Brian Ludloff. And Brian is the artistic director for Opera Fort Collins. He's also served on the staging staff of the Chicago Lyric, San Francisco, Washington National, Dallas, and Houston Grand Operas. And we're also very fortunate to have joining us in IPR Studio One this afternoon a wandering minstrel, a Lord High Executioner, and three of his lovely wards, one of whom is in love with the minstrel, and another beautiful character who is also infatuated with the wandering troubadour. They're all joined by Texas Tech University Professor of Choral and Opera Studies and the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater's guest music director and conductor, Dr. John Hollins, along with chorus pianist Tony Nickel. The Mikado Chorus, I think, is back in Cedar Rapids having an ancient tea ceremony. Yes, that's what I hear. Anyway, the three lovely wards of the High Executioner include soprano Heather Youngquist, and Heather will be singing the role of the charming Yum Yum. Soprano Robin Bradley. Robin will be singing the role of Peep Bo, Yum Yum's sister, and our third ward is mezzo-soprano Jessica Prey singing the role of Pity Sing, another one of Yum Yum's sisters. Also, we have mezzo-soprano Lauren Henderson Turner, who portrays the role of Katishaw, another woman who is in love with our minstrel, Nanki Poo. And we also have the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater's wandering minstrel and the executioner with us as well. Tenor Daniel Lopez is performing the role of Nanki Poo. He plays the son of the Mikado of Japan and is disguised as the traveling minstrel who also just happens to be in love with Yum Yum. And baritone Arthur Boytel sings the role of the Lord High Executioner, and his name is Coco. Well, welcome and thank you all for coming today. This is fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Well, we want to find out more about this, and John, give us a bit of history about Gilbert and Sullivan, because they had quite a career and a run together, and then let's see if you can unravel that plot of the Mikado.
Right, Jacqueline. Gilbert and Sullivan definitely have left the world a treasure with this piece. The Mikado is the seventh of 14 collaborations, W.S. Gilbert being author, poet, librettist, and Sir Arthur Sullivan being the composer. Gilbert and Sullivan's opera immediately preceding the Mikado was Princess Ida, which ran for 9 months, a short duration by the Savoy opera standards. The Savoy Theater was the theater built in London expressly for the purpose of putting on the operas of Gilbert and Sullivan. It also happened to be the first theater in the history of the world with electricity, which was quite an invention of the day. It was interesting. Princess Ida, as I said, ran for 9 months, a short time. Ticket sales began to show early signs of flagging. So the impresario Richard D'Oyly Carte realized that for the first time since 1877, no new Gilbert and Sullivan work would be ready when the old one closed. So in 1884, Carte gave Gilbert and Sullivan their contractual notice that a new opera would be required within 6 months. In December 1883, reflecting on his own precarious health and on his desire to devote himself to more serious music, Sullivan informed Carte that it would be impossible for him to do another piece of the character of those already written by Gilbert and himself. Gilbert, who had already started work on a new libretto in which people fall in love against their wills after taking a magic lozenge, was surprised to hear of Sullivan's hesitation. So he wrote to Sullivan begging him to please reconsider, but the composer replied that he had come to the end of his tether with their operas. However, all the friction between the gentlemen was dissolved, at least for a spell, when Gilbert hit on the idea of setting the next opera in Japan, turning his back on topsy-turvydom and the magic lozenge, also at least for a time. Although the setting was Japanese, the butt of Gilbert's wit was very much English, albeit kimono-clad. In Japan allowed Gilbert to satirize English culture, society, governance, law, etc. The Mikado fell perfectly into place. The storyline is clever. The characters are nicely drawn. The lines are witty, and the music is of enduring beauty. It's perfectly suited to the words. So the Mikado opened at the Savoy on March 14th in 1885, and it ran for a record-breaking 672 performances. It remains the most popular of all the Savoy operas and may well claim to be the most often performed theatrical work in all of world history. And finally, a charming and delightful quote from Gilbert. He once told a journalist, and I quote, "I cannot give you a good reason for our piece being laid in Japan. It afforded scope for picturesque treatment, scenery, and costume, and I think that the idea of a chief magistrate who is judge and actual executioner in one, and yet would not hurt a worm, may perhaps please the public."
Well, Gilbert was known to sort of skewer the aristocratic folks as well as the government in these operettas.
Yes, indeed.
That was part of his game, and people loved it.
Yes, yes. And here and again, Japan, the Japanese setting simply becomes a vehicle for his satire in that regard.
Well, tell us about this amazing plot and give us the Reader's Digest version, because there's so many twists and turns. We'd like to hear it.
It's a tall order in Gilbertian plots. But our show opens in the town of Titipu, where Nankipu, our tenor, is disguised as a second trombone, and he is looking for Yum Yum, who is the ward of Coco. A noble lord named Pishtush asks what Nankipu's business is with Yum Yum and learns that the minstrel has seen the girl a year ago when he was a member of the town band and they had fallen in love. But Yum Yum was betrothed to her guardian Coco, a cheap tailor. However, on learning that Coco was condemned to death for flirting, the minstrel hurried back to try to claim Yum Yum. Unfortunately, upon his return, he finds that far from being dead, Coco has in fact been let out of jail on bail and appointed Lord High Executioner. There is worse news to come, as Pooh-Bah, who holds every major office of state, which is a brilliant comical touch, Pooh-Bah informs Nankipu that Yum Yum and Coco are to be married that very day. Well, Yum Yum and her sisters, Pitty Sing and Peep Bo, appear with their schoolmates. When Yum Yum finally catches sight of Nankipu, he reveals that he is the son of the Mikado, the Emperor of Japan. And when they are alone, she admits she does not love her guardian. So the two lovers realize that their cause is hopeless, and Yum Yum leaves Nanki Poo, who then tries to kill himself. Meanwhile, Coco has received a letter from the Mikado who threatens to abolish the post of Lord High Executioner and reduce Titipu to the rank of a village unless a beheading takes place within a month. So on seeing Nanki Poo about to terminate an unendurable existence, Coco points out that suicide is a capital offense and offers to do the job professionally. So Nanki Poo agrees on the condition that he can marry Yum Yum and enjoy 1 month of married life before he is beheaded. So after the execution, Coco will then be able to marry the widowed Yum Yum. Amidst the celebrations, in storms Katisha, having tracked down the object of her affections, who is Nanki Poo, and threatens to reveal his true identity, being the son of the emperor. Katisha is outshouted by the chorus in some delightful Japanese syllables. But the town dwellers are not to be deterred, and Act 1 ends with joy reigning everywhere around. Act 2 opens with Yum Yum being prepared for her wedding. But soon the awful fact is out that under the Mikado's law, the widow of a beheaded man must be buried alive. This places Nanki Poo in a dilemma. If he holds Yum Yum to the marriage, she dies a hideous death. And if he releases her, she marries Coco. So the marriage is off, and Nanki Poo determines to do away with himself that afternoon unless Coco will kill him at once. As it turns out, the Lord High Executioner can't even kill a fly. To make matters worse, the Mikado is approaching, and the town is preparing for his arrival within minutes. So in desperation, Coco arranges to draw up an affidavit of Nanki Poo's execution. Well, the Mikado arrives with Katisha, who makes much of being his daughter-in-law elect. When Coco presents his certificate of execution, the Mikado reads it and says, "My poor fellow, in your anxiety to carry out my wishes, you have beheaded the heir to the throne of Japan." Well, Coco and Pooh-Bah find Nanki Poo and beg him to present himself alive to his father, thereby absolving him of his death. But Nanki Poo, who is now married to Yum Yum, is afraid of Katisha's wrath. So unless Coco will agree to marry the old hag himself, he and Yum Yum will leave on their honeymoon at once. Katisha, meanwhile, is mourning the death of Nanki Poo, and when Coco tries to woo her, she is at first reluctant, but he wins the formidable lady with a pack of flattering lies and a sad, lovelorn song. Katisha adds her powerful pleas to the Mikado for everyone to be pardoned. The Mikado, a bit bewildered by it all, nonetheless, in the end, pronounces that nothing could possibly be more satisfactory.
Well, thank you, John, for weaving that whole story
together. That was a bit of the Reader's Digest version.
Well, thank you. I hope everyone has the plot down now. Well, let's get started with some of our singers here. We're going to hear about the three sisters, the three little maids, and let's start by meeting Yum Yum, who is soprano Heather Youngquist. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You're originally from Southeast Iowa.
I am, yes. Hello. I am originally from Washington, Iowa, and I went to the University of Iowa for undergrad and then went to Indiana University over in Bloomington, Indiana for my graduate studies. And now I live in Chicago.
And you were a semi-finalist just last year with the New York Lyric?
Oh, I was, yes. That was I actually did the first round in Peoria, Illinois, so not too far from here. And yes, advanced to the round in New York City, which was exciting.
Now, you have sung with the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater before.
I have. Back when I was just, I'm dating myself here, you can do the math. When I was just finishing undergrad, I was in the chorus for Susanna. I remember being really impressed with that production and having a great time. I'm so happy to return this year.
And were you in the ensemble of Carmen as well?
I was, yes, in January. I hope a lot of the listeners got a chance to see that wonderful production. That was really spectacular. And I was an understudy, so you didn't see me in the role, but I understudied Micaela and then also sang in the chorus.
Well, tell us now, you have something coming up with Opera Southwest.
Yes, I am very excited to sing or understudy the role of Ophelia in a version of Hamlet that hasn't been performed since 1871, I believe. So it's sort of like a world premiere, at least for all people on this earth today. And Opera Southwest is in Albuquerque, New Mexico, so I'll be headed down there in the fall to participate in the rehearsals and performances of this new old work, and I'm very excited about that opportunity.
And you've also done some work or sung at Indiana University?
Yes. I was there for a number of years and got a lot of opportunities to perform their productions. It's such a huge school, and they care so much about their opera program that their productions are amazing. They're, you know, very professional, albeit in a school. So I got a chance to perform as Marguerite in Faust and Lucia and Lucia di Lammermoor, and they even brought me back after I was done studying to sing the Marshal in Der Rosenkavalier, which was exciting.
And you've done several roles for the Pine Mountain Music Festival.
Mm-hmm, I have. It's a nice young artist program up in way up in the Upper Peninsula, surrounded by Lake Superior. I've done a couple of roles with them over the years and enjoyed my time there very much.
Well, we are excited to hear the Three Maids here just shortly. That was soprano or mezzo-soprano Heather Youngquist, and she's one of the young artists appearing in the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater's upcoming performances of Gilbert and Sullivan. And thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And we're broadcasting live from Iowa Public Radio Studio 1 on the UNI campus. So in the Mikado, Yum Yum has two lovely sisters, Peep Bo and Pity Sing. Let's meet one of her sisters, Robin Bradley, who is singing the role of Peep Bo. And Robin, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you originally from?
I was born in Boston, and I grew up on the border of Cambridge and Boston, Massachusetts. I have lived in Chicago for 10 years, and this is my second production with Cedar Rapids Opera Theater.
And you went to the University of Michigan then?
Yes, I went to the University of Michigan for undergraduate and the University of Chicago for graduate school, which is what brought me to the Midwest, and I basically stuck around.
Now, tell us, you have sung several roles in Hansel and Gretel.
Oh, yes, and it was a bit of a challenge because I sang both the mother and the witch really fit quite a bit more with my voice than the mother, which is often sung by a soprano, and I'm a mezzo. So I got to sing both the mother and the witch in a recent production of Hansel and Gretel, which was an outreach production with Chicago Opera Playhouse, which does abridged versions of operas to elementary schools. And fortunately for me, most of the witch's role was intact, so I got to learn the entire role and had quite a lot of fun with it.
Well, I'm glad it was more like your personality and not like... Well, whatever. Okay. Tell us about this apprenticeship that you have done as well.
With Cedar Rapids or with
Flamenco? With the Flamenco,
okay.
Yes, yeah.
I have studied with Flamenco Chicago for a number of years and was selected to be an apprentice with the company. The advanced students oftentimes would accompany the director and choreographer of the company on professional events. So I've danced at weddings and festivals, and I got to do a little bit of Flamenco in Carmen when I was involved with the chorus and understudying the title role this past January. We did a little Flamenco in one of the scenes.
That was a magnificent performance, and the dancing was great, too. Well, you have also done some things with some other operas, and tell us a bit about those, some of the other operas you have appeared in.
I was in New York last summer for L'Incoronazione di Poppea, and I got to play the Empress Ottavia, and this is based on truth, of course, and it was a wonderful role. It was really an introduction to early music for me, and so I got to spend 6 weeks in Manhattan learning and performing that role, and I absolutely fell in love with it, which was my intention in pursuing a Monteverdi opera. I really have kind of been stuck in the romantic era of opera for a long time and wanted to broaden my horizons and got a wonderful experience to perform a beautiful, beautiful role in New York. I've also done a lot around Chicago. Chicago is a place where there are lots of emerging opera companies and lots of roles and opportunities for people to get involved. I've sung in The Marriage of Figaro. I've sung in Suor Angelica. I've done lots of other stuff around there. And so it's really a great place for people who are sort of emerging professionals and looking to get roles on their resume. And I've had a lot of luck in finding opportunities there.
Well, an interesting jump from Monteverdi to Gilbert and Sullivan.
Yes, indeed.
Mezzo-soprano Robin Bradley, and Robin is one of the young artists that will be performing in the Mikado, and thank you so much.
And thank you.
We are going to talk to the other lovely sister, This is Pity Sing, sung by mezzo-soprano Jessica Prey. And Jessica, tell us about yourself. Originally, you are an Iowan as well.
Yes, I'm originally from Johnston, Iowa, which is just around the Des Moines area. And I have one more year finishing my undergraduate degree at the University of Iowa. So I start that in the fall, and then I have no idea what will come after that, but I look forward to it.
And you have also, in addition to getting a vocal degree, you're getting a degree in public policy?
Yes. I have another degree in ethics and public policy, which I've really enjoyed. For a while there, I was actually considering going to law school, so I added that degree, and that's kind of like the pre-law degree at the University of Iowa, and I've really enjoyed it. I decided, no, I will not go for that, but I'm 100% invested in my career as an opera singer.
And you also, earlier in your life, have been Miss Iowa. Tell us about
that.
Yes.
I'm 21 years old now, but when I was 18, I entered my first pageant, and which was a local Miss Muscatine. I'm not from there, but I won it anyway, and then went on to win Miss Iowa, and then went on to go to Miss America, and I placed in the top 10, which was really exciting. But I did have to take a year off school, so instead of graduating this year, I'm going to graduate next year.
And you sang with a classical crossover female trio as well.
Yeah, in high school, I took off my senior year and lived in London for a time and recorded with two other girls, one from England and one from Croatia. And we worked with some really well-known producers, and we had our own manager, and it was the best experience of my life by far, and really enjoyed it. And then held a showcase for Warner Brothers and Sony and Universal Records.
Well, that looks really great on your Vita, I would think. Well, thank you so much to mezzo-soprano Jessica Prey. And now let's get these three young ladies up here. Heather, Robin, and Jessica are joining forces to sing a famous trio from the Mikado, which comes toward the middle of Act One. And is there any background that we need to know about this piece?
I think this is really our entrance into the show. So the audience doesn't know too much aside from that us three little schoolgirls are coming home. And I think that's pretty much the only intro it needs.
we'll sing the rest.
Yeah, we'll sing the rest.
Three little maids from school are we, heard as a schoolgirl well can be, filled to the brim with girlish glee. Three little maids from school, everything is a source of fun. Nobody's safe, for we care for none. Life is a joke that's just begun. Three little maids from school. Three little maids who all unwary come from a lady's seminary, free from a genius to three little maids from school. Three little maids from school.
One little maid is a bride, yum yum.
Two little maids in attendance come.
Three little maids are the total sum.
Three little maids from school.
From three little maids take one away.
Two little maids remain and they
won't have to wait very long, they say.
Three little maids from school.
Lady seminary, free from a genius tutelary.
Three little maids from school.
Three little maids from school.
Thank you very much. That was wonderful. Soprano Heather Youngquist singing the role of Yum Yum with her two charming sisters, soprano Robin Bradley as Peepo and mezzo-soprano Jessica Prey as Pity Sing. And that was, of course, one of the famous numbers from Gilbert and Sullivan's Mikado. We're broadcasting live from Iowa Public Radio Studio 1 on the UNI campus. And we're very fortunate to also have joining us a handsome Cedar Rapids Opera Theater wandering minstrel. Tenor Daniel Lopez joins us. And Daniel will be performing the role of Nanki Poo, the incognito son of the Mikado disguised as a wandering troubadour. And Daniel, give us the scoop about your singing background and where you're originally from.
Sure. Hi, I'm Daniel. I was born in Athens, Ohio, and I went to I did a lot of singing as a high schooler and early in my life, but I started getting into opera at the behest of my teacher, Robert Nims, at Otterbein University, originally Otterbein College, in near Columbus, Ohio. So I sang there, and then I took some time and I worked with Opera Columbus, and during that off time, I met a wonderful teacher named Julia Faulkner, who at the time taught at the University of Wisconsin, Madison, and that led me to pursue a master's degree at that school. And I've just finished that up, like, I think a month ago, somewhere around that time.
Well, congratulations. Thanks. Now, give us just some of the performances that you have performed in.
Okay. In my undergrad, I sang Martin in The Tenderland by Aaron Copland. I also sang Tamino in an English production of The Magic Flute. I've done several rounds of the outreach production, The Billy Goat's Gruff. I'm a very well-known Billy Goat. It's been half my career. This isn't my first Gilbert and Sullivan tenor role. I got to sing Frederick in The Pirates of Penzance at a resort in Maine called Quissisana, which, if you've got a week to kill and you want to go to Maine in the summer, I'd strongly recommend it. I just finished up. I've done a few other things, but the role I just finished up, I think, was probably my favorite experience. It's towards the heavier end, I would say, of my singing range. I sang Benedict in Beatrice and Benedict, which is based on the Shakespeare play, Much Ado About Nothing. And I love the source material. I love that play. And it turns out that Berlioz wrote music to write its great, or to match the greatness of the play itself. So I had a blast working on the character and working on that music.
Well, now you and your beloved Yum Yum, Heather Youngquist, are going to sing a duet from the Mikado next. Tell us a little bit about this duet. It comes close to the end of Act One.
Yeah. Well, this is a duet entitled "Were You Not to Coco Plighted," and it's talking about the things that we would never do because she is too Coco plighted. It reminds me of, I don't know if anyone else was as immature a young child as I am, but if you're ever told not to do something around the age of 5 or 6, you say, "What, you mean this?" And then you do it. And this is a duet about adults doing the very same thing.
Okay.
To Coco plighted, I would say in tender tone, "Loved one, let us be united, let us be each other's own." I would say, "O gentle stranger, press me closely to thy heart, sharing every joy and danger. We will never, never part.
We will never, never part.
But as I'm engaged to Coco, to embrace you thus con foco would distinctly be no joco, and for that I should get toco,
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 toco, toco. So I will not say, O stranger, press me closely to thy heart, sharing every joy and danger. We will
let us be each other's home.
I would merge all rank and station. Worldly sneers are not to us, and to mark my admiration, I would kiss you fondly thus. I would kiss you fondly thus. But as you're engaged to Coco, to embrace you thus con fuoco would distinctly be non gioco, and for that I should get toco.
Toco,
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 toco.
So in spite of all temptation, such a theme I'll not discuss, and on no consideration will I kiss you fondly thus. Will I kiss you fondly thus? Let me make it clear to you, this is what I'll never do. This, oh this, oh this, oh this, this is what I'll never, never do.
This, oh this,
oh this, oh this,
this
is what I'll never do.
He'll never do.
I'll never do.
He'll never do.
Oh, this,
this
is what I'll never,
never.
Soprano Heather Youngquist and tenor Daniel Lopez performing the duet from Act One of Gilbert and Sullivan's The Mikado, Were You Not to Coco Plighted. Thank you so much. That was great. We're broadcasting live from Iowa Public Radio Studio One on the UNI campus. And John, we have some wonderful young artists here. Why are young artist programs so important?
Well, you can hear the major reason why young artists programs are so important. We hear it and see it and feel it and live it right here in this room today, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing. First and foremost, these young artist programs plant seeds and make investments in an art form that is itself a microcosm, a picture of community, of human interaction. You think about the bringing together of music, of theater, of drama and acting, of visuals, of a scene and set design, of movement, of choreography. All of these wonderful art forms merge into this fantastic thing called opera, and we all come together as community. So planting those seeds and investing in the future of that art form is first and foremost, I think, what young artist programs are about for the world and for society and for culture. But more importantly, in the lives of these artists, it is a crucial and wonderful stepping stone from academia into the professional world. It provides them with a professional setting, a professional procedure, and some valuable experience in practicing their craft, practicing their art, in singing on their feet, and becoming well-rounded singer actors, and giving them stage experience. Young artists programs such as this one will invariably offer master classes and additional instruction, also educational outreach programs. Children's opera is a blossoming and blooming genre that is introducing young people to this wonderful art. And then very often they support main stage productions. So Daniel Kleinknecht, artistic director of Cedar Rapids Opera Theater, has created a wonderful program. I was reflecting on the drive up that this is formally 10 years old this year. It's a 10th anniversary for a great, great, great program.
And these singers were probably in grade school when that got started. Well,
mind-blowing.
We're going to continue on here, and we have a soprano Heather Youngquist coming back again. And this is from Act Two of the Mikado. And tell us a little bit about what you're going to be singing, what this piece is all about.
Sure. This is my aria, Yum Yum's aria in this opera. A lot has happened since she sang that cute little duet with Nanki Poo. In short, she's about to be married to Nanki Poo. They've worked it out, so they get a month together. But Katashaw has entered the picture, and she is very threatening, saying, in essence, that Nanki Poo is still hers. And Yum Yum is quite troubled at this point, because here she's thinking they're going to go ahead with this marriage and they're going to get a month together, but she doesn't know what's going to happen after that or what Katashaw is going to do in the meantime.
All right, well, let's hear this. The sun whose rays are all ablaze.
Rays are all ablaze with ever-living glory. Does not deny his majesty, he scorns to tell our story. He won't exclaim, "My blush for shame so kindly be indulgent," but fierce and bold in fiery gold, he glories all effulgent.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Soprano Heather Youngquist singing the role of Yum Yum from Act Two of the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater's upcoming performances of Gilbert and Sullivan's The Mikado. We're broadcasting live, and we're going to bring up another of the singers. This character also has a crush on Nanki Poo. He's quite a busy guy, isn't he?
He sure is.
Yes, and we're so fortunate to have joining us mezzo-soprano Lauren Henderson-Turner. And Lauren, tell us a little bit about your singing background and where you're originally from.
Sure. I was born in Naples, Italy. My father was military, and then we moved over to Kansas, and I grew up in Manhattan, Kansas for the majority of my life. And then I went to the University of Kansas in Lawrence, Kansas for my undergraduate. And then I went to the Eastman School of Music in Rochester, New York for my master's degree. And then after that, I moved back to Kansas to be with my husband. He was still there. And then we moved to Omaha about 3 years ago. And I live in Omaha with my husband and three children.
Wow. You are a busy person.
I am.
Well, tell us about some of the roles you've sung, and you've been in Opera Omaha and a few, and Lyric Opera of Kansas City.
Sure. I did Angela in Patience with Opera Omaha about a year and a half, 2 years ago, which was wonderful. I love Gilbert and Sullivan. So wonderful to do. Amy in Company I have done, which was also one of my favorite roles. It is music theater, and I never really saw myself doing that, but I really had to push myself and ended up loving it, just absolutely loving it. Also, you know, a few other ones have been, I did Pity Sing in the Mikado as well, Arete and Megera and Liz Estrada, Mark Adamo opera that I did at the Siegel Music Colony, which I got to work with Mark Adamo, which was absolutely wonderful. My favorite role I think I've ever done was Millie in Picnic. It was a new production at the University of Kansas my senior year by composer Forrest Pierce, who is on faculty there. And so I love working with composers and really shaping a character for the first time. When I first found out I was doing it, I was petrified because I didn't have anything to listen to or look at or anything like that. But the more I got into it, it was really wonderful to shape that character based on how I really perceived her.
Well, tell us about Katashaw and about this next aria or song you're going to sing for us.
Yes. Katashaw seemingly is horrid and evil and just a horrible, horrible person. But really, deep down, she is a beautiful person, I think a very wise person, and she's just hurt and sad that she is all alone. So this next aria, Alone and Yet Alive, is just that. It's a very honest look at who Katashaw really is behind the facade of the evilness and the ugliness.
Alone and yet alive. A sepulchre. My soul is still my body's prisoner. Remote the peace that death alone can give. My doom to it. My punishment to break. They sting and take for old love's sake, but do not die. Though with each breath they long for death, as witnesseth the living eye. The living die.
Mezzo-soprano Lauren Henderson Turner singing the role of Katishaw from Gilbert and Sullivan's The Mikado. And you heard Alone and Yet Alive from Act Two of The Mikado. Thank you so much, Lauren. We're broadcasting live from Iowa Public Radio Studio One on the UNI campus. And we're very fortunate to have this whole party of singers from the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater's production of The Mikado. And this is going to be happening June 19th through the 21st on the lawn of Bruce Moore Mansion in Cedar Rapids. And up next, we have a baritone and a Lord High executioner, Coco, who is performed by Arthur Boytel. And Arthur, I think this is the first time I've ever interviewed an executioner.
Yeah. Are you a little intimidated?
Tell us.
I'll be nice.
Okay, thank you. Tell us a little bit about your singing background and where you're from originally.
Absolutely. Well, currently I'm living in Fort Collins, Colorado, which is the northern part of Colorado. My parents live in Denver. I'm originally from Niagara Falls area, New York, but I came out for school. I just recently, about a month ago, kind of like Daniel, but I finished my undergrad at Colorado State University in Fort Collins with vocal performance in opera and German, which was really interesting. So this is my first time in Iowa. This gig kind of landed in my lap, and I'm really excited to be working with the company, and this place is wonderful.
Well, tell us a little bit about some of the roles that you played in Colorado State when you were there.
Okay. Well, recently I did Pandolf, who's the father of Cinderella in Massenet's Cendrillon. Before that I did, Major Murgatroyd in Patience, which was another G&S, which was pretty good. Before that, I made my Italian debut doing Antonio from Le Nozze di Figaro, and I also understudied Figaro. And then week after, I was a solo artist in a chamber festival in Orvieto, Italy. So I got to do that last summer. That was kind of cool. Yeah.
And you're doing a opera Fort Collins production? Has it already happened?
Yeah, that was actually last Friday, if you can believe that, which is weird. I drove out the next day. We did Turandot, and so I got to do the chorus of that with Opera Fort Collins.
Now, you have a very famous aria in the Mikado. Tell us about this aria. Set the stage for this song.
Okay, so this is right after the aria that you just heard. The song that I'll be doing is called Willow Tit Willow. So this is the point in the show where I feel Coco has reached almost an all-time low. He has to essentially seduce Katishaw to keep his own life. And after words don't say enough, I think music kind of has to take over. And this is really a test of, can he be a storyteller and also get his heart out there? And so with Titwillow, I believe he takes a shred of the story of Nanki Poo and his devotion to Yum Yum and takes it a little bit, a next step further, just because Coco's a little ridiculous.
On a tree by a river, a little tomtit sang willow, tit willow, tit willow. And I said to him, Dicky Bird, why do you sit singing willow, tit willow, tit willow? Is it weakness of intellect, birdie, I cried, or a rather tough worm in your little inside? With a shake of his poor little head, he replied, oh, willow, tit willow, tit willow. He slapped at his chest as he sat on that bough, singing willow, tit willow, tit willow. And a cold perspiration bespangled his brow. Oh, willow, tit willow, tit willow. He sobbed and he sighed, and a gurgle he gave. Then he plunged himself into the billowy wave. And an echo arose from the suicide's grave. Blop, 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 blop. Now I feel just as sure as I'm sure that my name isn't Willow, titwillow, titwillow. That was blighted affection that made him exclaim, oh, willow, titwillow, titwillow. And if you remain callous and obdurate, I shall perish as he did, and you will know why. Though I probably shall not exclaim as I die, oh, willow, titwillow, titwillow.
Thank you very much, baritone Arthur Boitel, singing there the role of Coco, the Lord High Executioner, as he performed from Act Two, the famous Titwillow song. And thank you, Arthur. Well, Arthur and Lauren are going to join forces to perform a dialogue and a duet from the Mikado. And this is happening at the very end of Act Two, where Coco, you were just talking about that you had to do a bit of wooing, Arthur. Tell us a little bit about this piece.
So as you just heard, maybe the wooing worked. I don't know where you're listening, but I hope it worked. So that was my final attempt, and I think I finally have started to break through her little facade and have gotten to see the actual Katusha. And I think this is the point where we kind of get to the same page, and I think I see what I needed to see, and now I'm okay to marry her, and I think she's about to reciprocate the same thing. So this is our little strange but beautiful love duet.
Did he really die of love?
He really did.
All on account of a cruel little hen.
Yes.
Poor little chap.
It is an affecting tale and quite true. I knew the bird intimately.
Did you? He must have been very fond of her.
His devotion was something extraordinary.
Poor little chap. And if I refuse you, will you go and do the same?
At once?
No, no, you mustn't. Anything but that. Oh, I am a silly little goose.
You are.
And you won't hate me because I'm just a little teeny weeny wee bit bloodthirsty, will you?
Hate you? Oh, Katusha, is there not beauty even in bloodthirstiness?
My idea exactly. There is beauty in the bellow of the blast. There is grandeur in the growling of the gale. There is eloquent a point when the lion is a roaring and the tiger is a lashing of its tail.
Yes, I like to see a tiger from the Congo or the Niger, and especially when lashing of his tail.
Volcanoes have splendor that is grim, and earthquakes only terrify the dolts. But to him who's scientific, there is nothing that's terrific in the bawling of a flight of thunderbolts.
Yes, in spite of all my meekness, if I have a little weakness, it's a passion for a flight of thunderbolts. If that is so, sing daddy down derry, it's evident merry our tastes are one. Away we'll go and merrily merry, nor tonally terry till day is done. Extreme old age. Do you fancy you are elderly enough? Information I'm requesting on a subject interesting is a maiden all the better when she's tough.
Throughout this wide dominion, it's a general opinion that she'll last a good deal longer when she's tough.
Are you old enough to marry, do you think? Won't you wait until you're 80 in the shade? There's a fascination frantic with a ruin that's romantic. Do you think you are sufficiently decayed?
To the matter that you mention, I have given some attention, and I think I am sufficiently decayed.
If that is so, sing daddy down, daddy, it's evident, very our tastes are one. Away we'll go and merrily merry, nor tardily tarry till day is done. If that is so, sing daddy down, daddy, it's evident, very our tastes are one. Away we'll go and merrily merry, nor tardily tarry till day is done. Sing daddy down, daddy, we'll merrily merry, nor tardily tarry till day is done.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Mezzo-soprano Lauren Henderson-Turner singing the role of Katisha, and also baritone Arthur Boitel performing as Coco, the Lord High Executioner. And that was very wonderful. We've had such a great time this afternoon with six young artists from the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater. And along with Lauren and Arthur, we also enjoyed performances by soprano Heather Youngquist, who sang the role of Yum Yum, tenor Daniel Lopez, who performed as the wandering minstrel and the alias son of the Mikado, Nanki Poo, and soprano Robin Bradley, who is Yum Yum's sister, Peep Bo, and mezzo-soprano Jessica Prey, presenting Yum Yum's other sister, Pity Sing. Also with us, Dr. John Hollins, who is going to be the guest conductor and guest music director of their performances of the upcoming productions of Gilbert and Sullivan's Mikado, and Tony Nickel at the keyboard. It was a great performance, and thank you all for coming up here today. We really have enjoyed it. Opening night is on June 19th, continuing through the 21st on the lawn at Bruce Moore. Performances start at 7:30, and they're encouraging you to bring a picnic basket, beverages, lawn chairs, or blankets. The gates open at 6:30, and then to get tickets, you can call Bruce Moore at 319-362-7375, or online you can get tickets at brucemoore.org, and this is also affiliated with the Freedom Festival in Cedar Rapids. And I think if you have a Freedom Festival button, you might get a small amount off your ticket price. So that's a great deal. This has just been a sneak peek, and we highly encourage you to go see the entire performance. And these folks came up to Iowa Public Radio Studio 1 here on the UNI campus in Cedar Falls, and we thank them for doing that. Just ahead, we have more great music for you presented by Iowa Public Radio's Barney Sherman, so be sure to stay with us. And we certainly wish you guys a wonderful career ahead. It's been wonderful having you here. Thank you so much for doing that. Iowa Public Radio thanks goes to Phil Moss, our technical producer and engineer, who made today's broadcast sound so terrific. Also thanks to Tony Daner and Nick Carlo, and thanks to Iowa Public Radio's music director, Al Scherz, along with the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater's Daniel Kleinknecht and Virginia Mikolicek. I'm Jacqueline Hallblum, and we've really had the great honor of having the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater's Mikado cast here on Iowa Public Radio Classical. Thanks so much for listening. And now we're going to close the hour with the finale from Act Two of the Mikado, For He's Gone and Married Yum Yum, and this features the orchestra and chorus of the Welsh National Orchestra under Sir Charles McCarris, and thanks for joining us.
For he's gone and married Yum Yum, forever and for all will be merry. I think you had better start on, to join our expressions of grief.
On this subject, I pray you be dumb. Your notions of many are not worth a penny. The word for your guidance is mum. You are a very good bargain indeed.
On this subject, we pray you be dumb. We think you might better say crumb. Goodbye.